This week's Cotton Newsline is Five Cuts. All cuts are John Lindemood, producer in Tiptonville, Tennessee. Cut one, coming in 3, 2, 1.
We started out excessively dry. We were wondering if we were going to have enough moisture to get our crops up once we put the seed in the ground, but that turned around pretty quick. We had record floods. Mississippi River went to levels that we'd never seen before, and right in the middle of our planting season, we just suspended planting for about 2 weeks and worked on maintaining the mainline levees and running pumps and trying to get people evacuated, and it was pretty chaotic. And even after they lowered the forecast and we realized we weren't going to lose our levees and we went back to farming, there was so much water inundating the landward side of the levees that it was middle June before we got a lot of our crops in. As a matter of fact, cotton for us, we normally want to be through planting by the 20th of May, and I didn't even start planting most of my cotton until about that time. We ended up with about 800 acres in June and even planted some cotton behind wheat this year. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes off. We're in the process of ginning that now.
Cut two, coming in 3, 2, 1.
It was pretty stressful trying to see how we were going to get through it all, but somehow we managed to make pretty average yields. Our beans ran about 45 bushels, and our cotton's going to run close to 1,000 pounds to the acre. Our June cotton fell off a good bit. It's going to be about 750, 800 pounds, but all in all, we're real thankful.
Cut three, coming in 3, 2, 1.
Going into the next year, 2012, we'll probably be looking at making a slight shift, shifting our cotton acreage down just a little bit, not significantly, maybe 10%, 15%, shifting those acres into corn and pulling as much acreage out of beans as we can and putting that into corn. So our corn will see pretty significant uptick. This year we farmed about 800 acres of corn. Next year we hope to have about 1,500. Has to do with the price of corn, but also with the desire to rotate our crops to get some herbicide, different modes of action out to help us deal with resistant pigweed issues. But cotton prices where they are, and the thing about cotton is our yields are very stable. Soybeans and corn can be pretty well all over the place. Cotton, we know what we're going to do. Even in a year as we had this year with the floods early and the drought late, we still managed to maintain our average yields of about 1,000 pounds. And that's a strong argument for planting cotton. But we like to be diversified, and we do need to rotate our crops so we can rotate our chemistry and better control our pigweed.
Cut four, coming in 3, 2, 1.
We're having to rethink what we do, and it really comes down to timeliness. I know it's cliche, but it really comes down to starting clean and staying clean. You can't get behind the ball, and that's difficult sometimes with rainfall and or lack of rainfall to activate chemicals, but we've just got to be very timely and be overlapping our herbicides, using different modes of action, and just staying on top of it. And so we've had to rethink some of our tactics. Obviously, we can't go back to where we were 2002 and 2003, probably the easiest herbicide regimens we'll ever have. We're going back and using pre-emerge herbicides and PPOs early. We're doing fall burn down and fall pre-emerge. Done studies with UT on cover crops of winter rye to interrupt sunlight so that the pigweed seed can't germinate. That's very promising. We had some real good results with that. There's a lot of techniques out there that we're looking at, and that was probably our biggest challenge, was just making sure we got our herbicides out in a timely fashion and took advantage of what rainfall we saw coming and not developed any gaps. And we've returned to manual hoeing. We're running a chopping crew now this year and last year for the first time in probably 7 or 8, maybe 10 years. But that's going to be part of the regimen from here on.
Cut five, coming in 3, 2, 1.
Staying diversified, having relatively high prices in all our commodities gives us the opportunity to rotate our crops. Of course, with the high commodity prices of what we're producing also comes high input costs. They tie fertilizer costs directly to the commodity prices. They go up, fertilizer prices go up. Gasoline and diesel, not so much directly tied to our commodity prices, but they sure seem to follow. And we're dealing with high prices of diesel and gas and fertilizer. And the one real challenge for us are land prices. Landlords tend to look at commodity prices and say, I want some of that. And that's understandable. But what they've also got to understand is that these prices can just as easily slide back to where they've been for the last 20 years. And then we can't afford to be stuck with, you know, high land prices, rent prices, and be producing for lower commodity prices. So that's a real challenge, educating our landlords and helping them see that it's not always about the bottom line. It's also about maintaining soil fertility and drainage and productivity of the ground, which is something that we really focus on.